The Sundance Film Festival gets underway tonight in Park City, Utah. For the first time, the festival opens with a documentary, the surfing movie Riding Giants. It might just be a sign that Sundance is trying to change its image back to what it used to be. In the past few years, the festival has become known as a place where Hollywood producers go to ski, look for new trends, and buy movies. Sundance began as a showcase for independent works, and festival organizers are trying to balance that tradition with its celebrity profile. David Darcy reports that this year's festival has plenty of personal movies by unknown directors.
More than 5,000 films were submitted for this year's Sundance Festival. Festival director Jeff Gilmore reluctantly pointed to a new trend, the independent film after the September 11th attacks.
It seems to me that there's a difference in the kind of work that we're looked at this year. Work that feels less insular, less inward-looking than a lot of the American work that we saw in the 90s, which I felt was more complacent. Whereas now you see a lot of work which is, I think, a lot more anxious, a lot more searching for its place in the world. And I think that's a change from that kind of 20-something angst genre that you saw so much of in the 90s in terms of the independent world.
51 first-time feature filmmakers are at Sundance this year, which is about normal. Among their works are two films with overweight protagonists, a feature about debutantes, a comedy about teens trapped in a Christian school, and a documentary about commercial sex workers. That's about normal, says Variety critic David Rooney, who describes Sundance as an irony-free zone.
There's often a certain naivety about the way things are dealt with. There's this sort of feel-good attitude that, you know, the world is all part of some big idealistic utopian community. And I think often there's a false view of what certain environments are like. I think there are certain directors who make, you know, in quotes, Sundance movies. You know, movies that are designed to appeal to some kind of indie community spirit, which I think doesn't really exist in the real world, at least not in the way it's portrayed at Sundance. And I think there's something slightly dishonest about this great big happy festival party type thing where everybody's championed, everybody is the next big discovery, and so many of them just leave Park City and are never heard from again.
A number of this year's Sundance movies look no farther than the American high school experience for their stories. One of them is co-written and directed by 24-year-old Jared Hess. He's in the dramatic competition with Napoleon Dynamite, a comedy shot in Hess's hometown, Preston, Idaho, about a perennial Sundance hero, the underdog teenager.
Well, nobody's going to go out with me.
Have you asked anybody yet?
No, but who would? I don't even have any good skills.
What do you mean?
You know, like nunchuck skills, bow hunting skills, computer hacking skills. Girls only want boyfriends who have great skills.
This film is about the kid that you sat next to in math class and probably never talked to or knew what he was about. And this film kind of gives people an opportunity to learn about people like Napoleon that they grew up around but never really fully got to know.
A 26-year-old student named John Heater makes his acting debut as the teenager Napoleon Dynamite.
How long did it take you to grow that mustache?
A couple of days.
I wish I could grow one.
Napoleon Dynamite, shot in Idaho by a filmmaker now living in Utah, is the kind of regional movie the Sundance Festival is proud to show. In the festival program, you won't read that a short film by the same director with the same actor playing the same character premiered last year at the upstart rival festival Slam Dance, which lacks Sundance's resources and its concentration of celebrities. Not all first-timers at Sundance this year are 20-somethings. Writer-director Alan Brown is 50. Yet he's just as earnest about his high school drama, Book of Love.
It's that moment between you're still half-child and half-adult. And it's like this war in your body and your psyche. You know, these kids are kind of physically adults, but they're not emotionally adults yet. They're still children. And I think that's what makes it an interesting time to think about. It's when you are first confronting on your own the responsibilities and the decisions that adults face.
Brown's not entirely new to the movie business. Almost 10 years ago, his well-reviewed novel Audrey Hepburn's Neck was optioned for the screen by Miramax Films, which changed the director and the story of the book repeatedly over 3 years before killing the project. He's optimistic about Book of Love, But critic David Rooney says don't expect too much from high school films by people who were there not so long ago.
Maybe it's just too easy for too many people to make movies now. So you're getting all these people who, fresh out of high school, fresh out of film school or whatever, haven't had time to even formulate thoughts about what might be interesting to a general audience, but have this kind of cocooned, insular idea of what movie making is all about and what people might want to see, so they just go ahead and film their most recent experience, which is high school. And, you know, the results are generally fairly uninspiring. I mean, for every great high school movie, there are countless ones that are unwatchable.
As easy as it may be to criticize Sundance, Alan Brown knows the alternative from experience, having studio people tell you what your writing means and how it can make the most money.
Probably the two strangest things they wanted to do to my story was one of the main characters was a Japanese woman, and Harvey at the time really had this thing for, what was her name, Bai Lin, the Chinese actress, so they decided to change her to Chinese, even though it was set in Japan and made no sense whatsoever. They called me and they said, could we change her to Chinese? I said, well, it makes no sense, but they changed her anyway. And the other thing was, one of the central relationships was between this Japanese, young Japanese man, who was straight, and his best friend, who was an American, who was gay. And they decided to make the best friend, who was American, straight, which, you know, is kind of an emotional core of the story, and it made no sense whatsoever, but they were uncomfortable with him being gay, and that was that.
Alan Brown's first produced feature, Book of Love, premieres at the Sundance Film Festival in Park City, Utah, Sunday night. The festival runs through January 25th. For NPR News, I'm David Darcy in New York.